It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Recent months have seen a string of disasters around the country, including wildfires in California and New Jersey, floods in Iowa and elsewhere, and an active tornado season. Fortunately, losing a home in a disaster is still a rare occurrence, but climate change could be raising the risks in many communities. How do people cope with losing their home, and what do disasters teach us about our communities? We'll hear from two Wisconsinites who've experienced the loss of their homes. Nick Mortensen is an author and former comedian living in Green Bay. He lost his home in 2011 when his apartment building in Madison burned down. And Mike Perkins is the owner of Coon Creek Customs. It's a vintage and antique car restoration business in Coon Valley, Wisconsin. He lost his rental home and most of his possessions to flooding in 2018. They spoke with Rob Ferret last week.
Nick, let's start with you. Now, the apartment building you were in Madison, this is back in 2011, destroyed by a fire. No one killed in the fire, but 27 people, including you, lost their homes. Take us back to that day, if you can, and how you started to realize what you had lost.
We got knocks on the door around 4:30 in the morning, and it was fire department telling us building was on fire and we needed to leave. So they weren't waiting outside my door. They were just going to other doors. So I took a couple seconds and grabbed my, my gym bag and my shower curtain, and I threw it over my computer. I just assumed it was be a small fire, be put out, and I'd be back in there by the end of the day. I just didn't want smoke damage or anything on my computer. And so I just went. It was right in the Capitol Square. I had a gym. I went to work out at it. And by the time I came back from a workout, so hour and a half, 2 hours later, the other people in the building were kind of amassed in a parking lot next door and kind of pulled out some lawn chairs and were just sort of watching it, waiting to get back in. And then within 20 minutes, the landlord showed up and started handing us our deposit checks. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a long day. So that was when it first occurred to me that I may not be able to get back into my apartment.
And Mike, you were one of the many people who lost their homes in the flooding in Western Wisconsin back in 2018. What sticks with you about that day?
Well, I guess the thing that sticks out the most is just you go to bed. And it was probably a little bit earlier than 4:30 for me, about 2 a.m. And you just, you know, you're in water and you just realize how quickly your whole world just changes. You know, it's funny, Nick mentioned grabbing his gym bag. I did the same thing, grab a duffel bag, grab some bathroom stuff, you know, toothbrush, that kind of stuff. Opened up the drawers as fast as I could through, you know, whatever I could get my hands on in there, and then wade it out. And, the water was chest high at that time. So, yeah, just how fast things can happen.
Now, Nick, you threw stuff in a gym bag. Apart from that, were you able to save any of your possessions?
It took us about 8 weeks after the fire to be allowed back in.
Oh, wow.
But we had a day where we could show up and grab what we could. So I was able to grab some stuff out of there. Unfortunately, it had been 8 weeks of water damage and smoke damage. So most of it wasn't savable, but I was able to get my computer out of there and, like a few other things. But for the most part, it wasn't savable. So it was a fascinating experience. I think of the 14 or so apartments in the building, only about two of us decided to show up on that day to sort of scavenge through what we could. So, and you know, there was no real supervision. So I had about 8 hours to walk up and down those steps to my third floor apartment and pull out what I could. And it was a pretty fascinating thing to just sort of sit among the destruction with no supervision. It was like a I don't know, it was like a weirdest kind of playground you could ever imagine. I was able to save just the computer and you know, what I had in my gym bag and a few things, but nothing substantial.
Nick, you say fascinating. It sounds like maybe heartbreaking. We all, I'll speak for myself. I feel kind of attached to my stuff sometimes. And the thought of realizing this, yeah, this triage, or maybe there's a few things you could save, but the rest of it is gone. I don't know, disturbing in some ways. How did you react to that?
Well, there was an 8-week interim there where they kind of at first sort of hinted that we might be able to get back in there. So I kind of had a long time to deal with it. I was, you know, really looking forward to that day. It kind of hit me like a ton of bricks once I walked in there. You know, that, boy, this is a much different environment than I thought.
And Mike, you got out as the waters were coming up again. You just threw stuff in a bag, grabbed what you could. Was it a total loss, the stuff left behind for you?
When I went back, I was able to go back. Well, once the water went down, so a day later. But it was ironic that Nick, the fire thing, I was thankful that I didn't have a fire. When you have a fire, you know, if something burns, it's gone. There's no restoration that you can do. There's no drying it out. It's just gone. And I remember thinking, trying to put light in it. You know, it could be worse. I could have had a fire. And the only thing I salvaged out of there was the clothes. You know, I was able to take them. I actually had a friend, she took them to the laundromat and washed however many loads of clothes. So all my clothes were saved, but yeah, otherwise I tried to keep some pictures. You know, that's again, flood versus fire. I had pictures that I could salvage, but no, everything else, all the electronics, some of the paper or paper mache stuff that your kids made, that's all gone. You know, it's just gone. And it's funny how you look at some of the things that you had literally had taken for granted for 20 plus years and had maybe even no financial value. And then that turns out to be the thing that you wish you had the most.
Are there things attached to your kids that you miss in particular?
Yeah. I processed it pretty good. But yeah, there's pictures, you know. My son's name is Sean, so there's pictures that he drew, you know, when he was in school, color crayon pictures, you know, and you don't really have an appreciation. You do it first when they first give it to you, you know, it's like 2 weeks of, ah, oh, but then, you know, after 20 years go by, you think nothing of it, but you have it floating around somewhere, and then that's gone. You know, it just turns out to be a soggy, crinkled up, unsalvageable piece of paper that really had no monetary value. And you, like I said, you didn't even think about it for 20 plus years.
We're talking about what happens when a disaster strikes, people lose their homes. We've got Mike Perkins, whose home was destroyed in floods in Vernon County in 2018, and Nick Mortensen, whose apartment building in Madison burned down back in 2011. I want to talk a little bit about community and support you did or didn't get with both of you. Let's start with you this time, Mike. Of course, this is flooding. It happened in a wider spread area. What did you see when it comes to community coming together? Whether that's just your friends or the wider community?
We are fortunate, and we live in an area in Wisconsin where everybody helps everybody out. When we have fundraisers, they almost without exception meet their goal. And so everybody, it was amazing. It was literally amazing. You know, we were kind of locked in. The bridge, which was the main way out of town, was destroyed or compromised enough that we couldn't use it. But it was just amazing. Some of the local stores, not to put a plug in for Quick Trip, but Quick Trip was amazing. Truckloads of bottled water, you know, things that, the community was amazing. There were people, church groups that were just walking, you know, it's obviously a village, so there's house after house after house, and they would just walk around, a church group or a volunteer group of 20, 30 people and help clean up the mess. And they just walked door to door. Just, things you would never think of. It was amazing. And then there were preachers from the church group and priests from the Catholic Church, and they would make a point to sit down with you and listen to something you had to get off your chest, or, just listen to you, just listen. So our community was amazing.
Nick, your situation was different and more localized, this one apartment building. Did you feel like you got support, again, whether from friends or family or people in the community?
Yeah, the apartment building was on the corner of East Mifflin Street and Pinckney, so right in the Capitol Square. And, as the people, the residents of the buildings sat in the parking lot and watched ourselves, watched everything go up, we got word from the Dayton Hotel that we would all be allowed to stay there for free for the next week to 10 days. I stayed at my girlfriend's house that night, but I checked in the next day and they had an entire floor conference room that was filled with clothing that, within 24 hours, some of the fraternities and groups around UW-Madison had put together a clothing drive for us. And that was something that I, never expected. It meant a lot in that moment. I can tell you a great deal. I don't think I've ever been so touched,
Mike, do you see ways in which going through this experience with the flood changed the way you live your life?
Yeah, definitely. There's subtle changes. You appreciate walking in the park more. Because that stuff always comes back. You walk through the park and then you remember when the park was literally under 15 or more feet of water. And it was raging water. And so, you walk through there and every time you step in that park, you stop and that just crosses your mind. And you have a better appreciation for church. Community neighbors you had, neighbors who you never, neighbors you didn't even get along with, you get to see the softer side of that. Now when you run into that person, you might not be best friends yet, but there's a higher level of respect and appreciation for them. If that makes sense.
Definitely. Nick, how about you? To what extent was this life-changing for you?
Profoundly. I had, I'd spent a good amount of time in the previous year reading books about how to overcome adversity. I was teaching a course. When you're dealing with adversity and significant, it can become all consuming. And you fail to see what's ahead of you. So I sort of, as I was watching the fire, I sort of mapped out a plan for what I would like to do for the next few months. And first thing on the list was, this is a major change in my life. Maybe I can make a few changes of habits that I don't necessarily like having. And I was able to quit caffeine. I had a pretty nasty caffeine habit, but it was all sort of structured into my day. I'd wake up, I'd go get it. And because of the interruption, I didn't have to that routine anymore. So I was able to quit that. And then, so that was pretty profound. And as I said, later on, I stayed at my girlfriend's house and I came to find out that that evening I had knocked my girlfriend up. She's my wife now. So my plan was to stay in Madison, but we ended up moving back to my home in Green Bay. I was, a bachelor, is kind of a man about town doing stand-up comedy. And one day, and then a couple weeks later, I was back in Green Bay looking for a house, getting my life set up for this baby that was going to come in 8 months or so. So, my life's never been the same since. It's profoundly changed.
I can't compete with the girlfriend knocked up thing. I can't.
She was very comforting that evening.
Life altering. Congratulations, by the way.
We'll leave it there. Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Mike, thanks for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
Mike Perkins is the owner of Coon Creek Customs. It's a vintage and antique car restoration business in the village of Coon Valley. He lost his rental home and most possessions to flooding in 2018. And Nick Mortensen is an author and former comedian living in Green Bay. He lost his home in 2011 when his apartment building in Madison burned down. They spoke with Rob Ferret last week.